Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In 1973, there was an 18-month-old boy whose health was failing. He kept getting sicker and sicker. After starting to eat solid food, something was making him sick, and the doctors didn't know what was causing all this to happen. All they knew is that his protein levels were so low that things were quickly becoming critical. Either the boy needed to get some relief and start getting nutrition into his body, or else he would die. Nobody really knew what was happening. And as you can imagine, that was very scary for the parents of this young boy. They spoke with many different doctors and specialists. Most were left scratching their heads. They hadn't seen this condition in the United States too many times before. They didn't know what was causing the boy to be sick after he ate. And it was the not knowing that was really hard to take. It got to the point where the parents came in desperation before the Lord. And they said, "If it is your will to take this child, then so be it. But if not, please help him, because he really needs your help right now." Then a specialist in autoimmune disorders came into the picture. Now, he wasn't a pediatric doctor, nor did he prefer to work with kiddies, as he put it. He came from Stanford University and recommended that a biopsy be taken of the boy's small intestines. And once that was done, the doctors diagnosed that he had celiac disease, and that is what was causing all the boy's problems. The answer was actually quite simple. Avoid foods with gluten, and the boy should get better. Well, the doctors at Kaiser Permanente Clinic in San Jose, California, gave the parents of this boy a list of six things he could eat. They told them that most likely he would be about 5 foot 2 inches tall and weigh around 100 pounds, but at least he would live. Those parents were my parents, and that boy in this story is me. I'm blessed to be with you here this morning. I'm blessed that God heard my parents' prayer and that my family got me the help I needed when I needed it the most. That is the story of my early life, and I'm extremely grateful to be here with you all this morning. But I'm not unique. Many of us have stories of faith that we carry with us after having life-changing experiences. Whether these life-changing events happen to us, or to a spouse, or to a child, or grandchild, or to a close friend or neighbor. And these stories shape us. They shape not only our physical lives, but our emotional lives. They shape the lives of our family and friends. They shape our lives of faith and how we relate to God. My mom will retell that story about how she went to God in prayer. And every time she tells it, she gets choked up. But that's a moment she'll never forget. A moment when she went earnestly to the Lord in prayer and said, "Please save my child. But if not, I'm going to entrust him into your care." Those stories shape our lives forever. Well, in today's gospel lesson from the 7th chapter of Luke, we hear about a life-changing event that happened to a widow and her only son. After healing the slave of a Roman centurion in Capernaum, Jesus went to enter into a town called Nain. And as he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. What Jesus had encountered upon his arrival in the town of Nain was a funeral procession. When Jesus saw this happening, he stopped the funeral procession. Then Jesus spoke and commanded the young man to rise from the dead, and he did. Jesus performed an amazing miracle and restored the young man to his mother. Fear and amazement gripped the crowd who had witnessed Jesus perform this miracle. And as a consequence, they started glorifying and praising God. As you can imagine, word spread about Jesus and what he had done throughout the land. And now I want to know, what's next? What happened next in this story? Whatever happened to that young man that Jesus raised from the dead? What stories did the mother tell about the day Jesus saved her son? Was it something that she shared freely with all who would listen? Or was it something that she preferred to kind of keep close to the chest and discuss only with those in her hometown? We don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us. And yet I still want to know what happened to that young man, the widow's only son, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Did he grow up to become a rabbi like Jesus? Did he go around telling everyone how the Messiah had come to town and saved him from an early death? Or did he want to keep things quiet, feeling overwhelmed with all the attention and what had happened to him? Again, we don't know the answers to these questions because the Bible is silent on those matters. But we know that the widow, her son, and the people of Nain had a life-changing experience because of Jesus. They had something happen to them that they never forgot and that left them changed forever. They had seen a miracle performed by God's own son, Jesus. They now had an amazing story of faith to tell and retell and pass on to future generations. Jesus, the Messiah, had come to town and saved the life of a young man, and in so doing, spared his widow mother from having to live a life of poverty. So my question for us here today is this. What stories of faith do we carry with us? What bolsters or guides our faith as we begin each new day? Do we have stories of healing and being restored to our families, like Luke's story of the widow's son being restored to his mother, or like the personal story I shared with you earlier on from my own life? Has God seen you through a time of illness? Have you ever been injured and the Lord helped you through surgery and rehab and battling infections and restored you to health? Do we have stories of forgiveness that we have either given to others or received ourselves that have set us free from whatever was holding our spirits bound? Sometimes when you need to be forgiven, it's like your spirit is in a cage, right? And until you're forgiven, the prison cell doors don't fling open. But when you are forgiven, it's a life-changing experience. If you've had a heated argument with a family member, elbowed a brother in the ribs, punched her in the nose, or had some sort of family spat, sometimes we do have to go back to our brothers and sisters and say, "I'm sorry. I blew it. I let my temper get the better of me. Please forgive me, and let's continue on our way." And if you've spoken to people who have battled addictions, it's like also being in that dark prison until they're able to get sober and clean and free from what's holding them prisoner. Once they are sober and clean, once they are freed from that addiction, it's life-changing. And it's like they're born again. Have we been touched by God's love and mercy through the care that we've received from others? Have we had those life-changing experiences where God's mercy has been poured into our lives in such a tangible way that it felt like we were just immersed in God's love? It's like we jumped into a swimming pool of God's love. Have you had those moments? Have you either been healed or forgiven others, or restored to the person God made you to be? Have you been touched by the love and mercy of God shown to you through another person? Those change you for a very good way, in a very good way. What stories of faith do we carry with us? What bolsters and guides our faith each and every new day? And then there are the what's next questions, right? How will those stories of faith affect our daily lives? When we get up in the morning and we look ourselves in the mirror and we remember how lucky we are to be here, or we rejoice that we've been forgiven, or that we've patched up that family quarrel, how does that affect the way we carry on that day? These stories of faith, will we pass them on to our children and grandchildren? Are we willing to share them with our friends and neighbors and open up and say, "Yeah, I've been there too. But you know what? This is how God helped me in that instance. And now I'm willing to walk with you together through your time of trial. How will our stories of faith affect our families and our futures? And how will what has happened to us affect the way we treat one another on a daily basis? Because once you've been changed, then you just want to share that love with others. For those of us who have had someone we love healed, or who have been healed ourselves, I think we can make the words of Psalm 30 our own this morning. There the psalmist sang, "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance. God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joy does indeed come in the morning." Those are the times we can celebrate being healed or forgiven or restored. But sometimes we are not as fortunate as I was or as the widow's son was. Sometimes we are not healed in this lifetime. Sometimes, as Martin Luther said, death is the great healer. So for those of us who have not been healed or who have not had loved ones who were healed and restored to us, then we can make Paul's words to the Romans our own when he wrote to that church in Rome, Italy. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For when we are not healed, God has still promised to be with us forever. Even in our darkest hour, when we have lost our loved ones, God has promised us that nothing will ever separate us from his love, no matter what comes our way." So what stories of faith do we carry within each of us? What bolsters and guides our lives as we begin each new day? And what will we pass on to our families? And how will our faith affect our future and the way we treat one another on a daily basis? In the end, whether we are healed in this life or not, God will save us as a free, unearned gift of his grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The end is already known. We know where we're going. And so we can use the last verse of Psalm 30 and declare to the world, "Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing, O Lord my God, and I will give you thanks forever. Thank you, Lord, for your steadfast love, no matter what we face in this life." Amen.